Well, sports teams are well aware of the value of a training community. Be able to go someplace where you have a common goal, where you can train together, you can get nutritious meals together, learn from each other, you get the best coaches, bond emotionally. And that happens, of course, we're most familiar with, in our Olympic training facilities. We have three of them here in the United States, one in Lake Placid, New York, one in Chula Vista, California, and the main one in Colorado Springs. And if you were to tour one of those facilities, you would find a community that is laser focused on winning. They have the best weight training facilities, cafeteria offering healthy foods, and there's coaches there, trainers, researchers, and everyone is bound together by this common goal of winning. And in several places, the scripture uses this kind of analogy from the Olympics to encourage us as Christians to adopt that same kind of approach to life. In fact, our passage from today has a word, actually, that was used in Olympic parlance, and it was a word for mature, which means not only something that's fully aged, but something that's hammered to perfection. And you and I are to have that same quality of maturity, hammered to perfection, and disciplined, and ready to serve. Paul would say it later on in this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So what we're finding through our study of Ephesians is that the church has a lot in common with an Olympic training facility. We too are a gathered community. We too are called to have a spirited sense of intensity about why we're here. We're not striving for our glory, however, but for God's glory. And as a church, our training should be just as rigorous. Our leaders must be effective coaches. Our spiritual food must be of the highest quality. We have to learn from each other. That's why we're here. We can learn things here together as a family, as we rub shoulders with each other, as we do projects together, as we work on things together. You know, there's going to be friction. There's going to be times where those rough edges are going to get knocked off, and where we will learn how to do things together as a team. And this is going to be important. You may say, you know, I'm not an Olympic type person. I like to watch every once in a while, maybe every 4 years, but I'm just a regular person. But here's the thing, friends. There is nothing of greater importance than you do than to be a part of a training community like this. As followers of Christ, we are not preparing ourselves for a game, but for the fight of our lives, which is coming. Those who seek to extinguish Christianity or silence us wake up every day thinking about how they can do that permanently. They've won the war in Western Europe. If you go over there, the large cathedrals are turned into museums. The smaller ones are now restaurants. And so what used to be, several hundred years ago, a vibrant community of believers that were sending out missionaries all over the world are now gone. And we are headed in that same direction. So we must change the way we do church. For if we continue on the trajectory that the American church is on right now, where it's just kind of a nice pastime, and we go to be entertained, if we continue on in that, we will not be here for our children or our children's children. So let's talk more about what it's like to be a part of the church. And turn in your Bibles to that passage that Mike read for us earlier, Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. It says this, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, I know there's a lot in there, a lot. So we're going to unpack it sort of phrase by phrase. But I want you to, first of all, just look at what it starts out with, that verse. It says, until we all. So there's a process being described here. This is not a one-time event. This is ongoing. Stay at it. Persevere until you see these things develop. And you're going to see four things in this verse that are the picture, in the same way if you can picture the model gymnast or pole vaulter or sprinter, picture the same way the model Christian who has been hammered to perfection over time and is trained and ready for service. That's what we're going to see. And that involves four things that are part of this picture. Number one, you see it says, until we all, what's the first thing it says there? Attain to the unity of the faith. And that takes us back, if you look in verses 3 and 5, it's not talking about an organizational unity, like let's just make sure that all of the churches, let's get together on Easter or some kind of a way that we can just mash everybody together into the same thing. This is an organic unity. This is a unity that's truly there. It's when I come together and you come together and we both love the Lord and we come down with somebody across the way or in another church and we find that same love for Christ. There's an organic connection. We are part of a body. This little church is part of this organic whole here that's powerful. And until we sense that we're not in competition with each other, but we're in cooperation and we're here to do things together, then we have not attained to this unity of the faith. That for us, we know that the thing that's holding us together is the person of Christ. As long as we are exalting Christ and lifting him up and not making it about us or not making it about our denomination, then we can find unity with anybody who's doing the same thing. And you see, that's the next thing that's mentioned here. After it talks about the unity of the faith, it says, and the knowledge of the Son of God, because that's what brings us together. As we begin to know more about Jesus Christ, what happens is I get excited because I see something I've never seen before, so I share it with you. You get excited about it, and then it just spreads like wildfire. We're not members of a club or just a religious organization. Our knowledge is of heart and head, and it's about who Christ really is, and it involves the gospel. The gospel what is the gospel? The gospel is just simply, how do I get connected with God? And the good news of the gospel is you get connected to God through Jesus Christ. That's the knowledge of Christ, what he did on the cross, who he was, what he's going to do, how he's knitting us together as a family now. The more we see that, the more we experience Christ, and we read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, we see who Christ was, then we grow in our knowledge of him, and we start to tighten up together as a group. And then it says that we find to the mature man. That's where, this is that Olympic phrase that we were mentioning earlier here. And this word actually describes a robust, strong, healthy man, like an Olympic athlete. The mature person then, we could almost call them, as a Christian, you are a spiritual Olympian. Did you know that? You are called to be a spiritual Olympian. That's you. That's me. So, that sounds, maybe that's for the pastors. No, that's not. Everyone here is called to be a spiritual Olympian. Now, think about what it takes to be an Olympic athlete. Think of the discipline that it takes. They're not distracted. They're not undisciplined. They're focused. They practice self-control. And they are, every day, getting more strong and spiritually healthy. That's a metaphor for you and I. There's a guy that I admire quite a bit, and if you'll indulge me a little bit, from a wrestling metaphor, I know that may not connect with you, but I think you see the guy, you can't help, even if you don't appreciate the sport, you'll definitely appreciate the character of this man. He's a young guy. His name's Kyle Snyder. Last year, in 2016, he became the youngest man ever to win a gold in wrestling. I mean, wrestling is sort of an older guy sport. Guys win in their, in their 30s when they're at their peak after they've been doing it for a long while. But Kyle won at 20 years old, basically halfway through college, being at Ohio State, he wins. His work ethic is insane. Every day it's discipline and hard work. And they said that basically he is a 20-year-old who thinks like a 30-year-old. His coaches say he's incredibly unique. And he says this. He says, I like the hard part of it. Some days are harder than others, but every piece of it I do love. It feels like I'm just doing something I love to do. It doesn't feel like I'm making sacrifices or things like that. If it's going to help me with wrestling, it's going to help me become the best person I can be, then it's worth it. Friends, that's the mentality of somebody who's becoming a mature man. And my question would be, do we feel that same way about our relationship with Christ? Do we approach it with that same kind of intensity, that same kind of zeal, that we're saying, I want to get as close to Christ as I possibly could get? I want to be the person that God designed me to be. I don't want to be just a Sunday Christian who shows up here once in a while, or I'm here Christmas and Easter, or I play at it. I want to be that person. I want to be like this, only in a spiritual sense. And when we do that, what happens to us is we get the fourth thing that's mentioned here, and that is the fullness of Christ. It says, till we get the full measure of Christ. What's that talking about? Well, in some ways, you and I are not going to experience the fullness of Christ until we get to heaven, till we see him face to face. And that's what we have to look forward to. Right here, all we get is just a taste of it. And so in some ways, you could say, we're experiencing the fullness of Christ in little bits and pieces and starts and fits here, but we look forward to the fact that the real deal, the ultimate experience, is going to be when we get to heaven. And so as we walk through life, our goal is to say, I know that Christ is here for me 100% of the time. He's available every day. And he's saying, I'll be here, and you get as much of me as you want. Somebody who's experiencing the fullness of Christ has said, I want you every day. I want to walk with you every day. I want to make every decision with you. Let's do this together, God. And so it's not just me doing my own thing, and then when I get in trouble, I send up a Hail Mary. God, help me out of this problem I got myself into. It's saying, God, let's just walk today together. And you're sort of praying all day long. And I don't know what that looks like to you, but it's a very natural thing. It's meant to be a thing where you and God are just enjoying life together. You're experiencing the troubles and the challenges and the ups and the downs, the great things and the not so great things. Christ is there with you, and together you're experiencing. That's the full measure of Christ. Why would we settle for just a partial measure here? And the thing, friends, is that in the future, those who have only a partial measure of Christ will not survive. The opposition is heating up, if you haven't noticed. As we look around, we know that's to be true. And so all of those who are just partially committed will not survive. They won't make it. They will, and again, just picture Western Europe in your mind. That's where we're headed. Where over in Western Europe, people they don't go to church. They don't even think about going to church. It's not even on their radar. Here in America, if you're like me, in your lifetime, if you're my age or even like close to that, you remember a time when most people just kind of went to church. And now, most people don't go to church. Fastest growing rate of people that identify as on the religious scale are the nuns. I'm nothing. I'm not going to church. I don't think about going to church. It's not even something that I would even consider doing. And that's changed just in my lifetime. And if we think about what's that going to be like in another 50 years? Because right now, the strength of the church and the American church is so weak, we do not have what it takes to make it to the next generation. The baton will be dropped by this generation because we were too busy trying to entertain ourselves or to just be comfortable that we lost this idea, this sense of we are in a spiritual training camp. That's what the church is supposed to be about. And I am a spiritual Olympian here. And so here's the things we've seen so far. We've seen number one, what should be happening is we should be bonding together as a community that's around the person of Christ. We come here to train. That's what we do. We come here to train ourselves to get ready to go back out into the world and make a difference. And we would ask ourselves, is there focus? Is there intensity? Is there discipline going on here? Or do we just come punching a clock? Or we come to say, well, I'm going to see how the worship team did this morning, and then I'll give my little critique on the way home. You know, or do I come saying, what do I need to work on today, Lord? Show me how I can be a more effective servant for you in the world in which I live. Am I moving towards maturity? Am I experiencing that fullness of Christ? And if it's something less, then I can change. I can say, Lord, I want that fullness. Christ is meant to saturate everything we do. And when that happens, Christianity actually works. You know, it doesn't work when you're getting the partial experience it doesn't work. It's one of those things where you got to have all of it. You got to be walking with Christ. You have to have that kind of commitment. When you do, you realize, hey, this really works. All of a sudden, the past that you've been in bondage to begins to fall away. The things that you were addicted to, the habits that were kicking the slats out of your life are now manageable, and you're actually gaining ground on them. You're learning how to be more loving and more kind, more gracious. You're learning how to speak to that relative that annoyed you and you couldn't even speak to him anymore. Now you're able to talk to him on the phone. We're learning how to be better husbands and fathers and dads. And we make it work at home. All of this is happening because we're here and we're getting trained. None of this is possible without the church. Again, Kyle would have never made it to the Olympics if he had not gone to that training facility. We mature in community. Now, you might be saying, well, that sounds great. I like the sound of that, but tell me a little more about it. What does this look like, really, when it's lived out in the flesh? The next few verses give us three ways in which it's lived out, and these are three components of what this mature Christian begins to look like and what they begin to do. Look at verse 14. It says, as a result. So that tells us that if you're doing verse 13, the results are starting in verse 14. And so what are the results? Well, the first thing we see in verse 14, the second half there, is stability. It says, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. That's something that happens when you come and when you get trained and when you are soaking in God's word and you're hearing the message, you begin to get stable. You begin to be rock solid here. When you take the time to examine what you believe and why you believe it, you don't end up getting confused by stuff that comes along on TV or a lecture that you hear in college. You're solid because you've been trained. Your worldview is able to withstand some questioning, which it will be questioning. Again, when the persecution comes or when the challenges come, when the time of testing comes, somebody who has been grounded because they were in that training community will be able to withstand. They'll know how to respond. Those who just took it casually, they're going to get blown out of the water here. I want you to think about what it would be like had Kyle showed up at the Olympic training camp in Colorado Springs and thought to himself, I'm a pretty good wrestler. And he was. I mean, I think at Ohio State, I don't think he lost a match. Or if he did, it was maybe just one. He had an incredible record. Nobody ever. He's just a beast. He's one of those guys that comes along, one of the few guys that just genetically was created for that. But then again, you add to that this amazing work ethic and then being able to think like a 30-year-old. So he came to that facility as a champion. And he could have very easily said, I don't need to listen to anybody. Some of you have been in church for a long time. You've listened to a lot of sermons. And you basically know what it means to be a Christian. And you could be saying to yourself, I don't need church. I got this figured out. And you're kind of on cruise control now. That's a dangerous place to be in here. I imagine when Kyle showed up at training camp, the first thing he did was he said, where's the coach? I want to talk to the coach. I want to get my training schedule down. I want to map out my diet. I want to look at everything. This is the way you and I, if we're going to get stable, we need to do that same thing. We need to be able to come here and say, I need some training. And in fact, you may say, well, the church isn't giving me what I need. Tell us. Friends, I know that I need to be a better coach. I know I need to find out what it is that you need. Help me help you. Help the leaders of the church by saying, I need some training in this material. I tell you, we love to hear that because we'll bend over backwards. We'll meet with you individually. We'll put some classes together, small groups together. We'll meet that need because if you fail, we fail. If your life goes down the tubes, then I feel partly responsible for that. That's why they call a pastor a shepherd. Because if you lose one of the sheep or one of your sheep don't show up in the paddock, then that's partly your fault as a shepherd. And so we feel that deeply here. And That's why God gives us leaders. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers." And you might say, "I don't know any apostles, and I don't know any prophets." Friends, if you've got a Bible in your hand, you've got the apostles and you've got the prophets. This is where they are. The testimony that they have given over the thousands of years that the Bible has been developing and been in writing is contained in this book. We're not just coming into the Christian faith with no history. We've got thousands of years of history that's been recorded here. God interacting with man in different times, in different places, in different cultures. And the testimony of the prophets in the Old Testament that would stand up against the kings and tell them that they need to right the ship, or the apostles who set the foundation for the church, is all recorded here for us. That's why we examine this. We come under the tutelage of the Bible, and we approach the Bible not as a critic, but as a learner. And when we do that, some powerful things begin to happen. What happens? You and I get stable. As opposed to being flaky, unreliable, erratic, blown around by every belief. Again, a contrast of two different Olympians might serve us to make this point. One is, again, going back to Kyle Snyder. He was in, before he was in Rio, he was wrestling in Bulgaria at a tournament there. And he had won the tournament. And so he and his buddies went out to celebrate their win that night. So the coach stayed behind in the hotel. 2 hours later, Kyle shows back up at the hotel. And the coach just says, "Why are you here?" You know, I mean, the coach is thinking, if anybody had a right to celebrate, they're in this town where there's no drinking limit. You can do whatever you want to do. And Kyle said, "Well, I just came back because I thought I wanted to get to bed early tonight so I could train tomorrow and feel okay." And his coach is thinking, this guy's gold medal. That's amazing. That's consistent. Now, compare that to Ryan Lochte, who you know his story. So here he is at Rio, right as the thing is going on, and he's out partying with his buddies. Here's a surveillance video of him defacing a gas station bathroom. They were stopped by security officer, detained there. He tried to cover it all up by saying that he was robbed. You remember that? So he lied. He ends up insulting all of Brazil and making them mad. He dishonors the American swim team because the guy couldn't figure out whether he wanted to swim or whether he wanted to party. He was a man of a double mind. He was flaky. He was not solid. He was not stable. This is what you and I are called to be. A spiritual Olympian plugs into the community of faith so that they become stable. That's why they're here. And they take that seriously. A second characteristic of this mature Christian is really the balancing of two different things, truth and love. This one's super important. And again, this is what's supposed to develop when you're here at this training camp that we call church. Look at verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ." So in other words, if we want this knowledge of the Son of God, and if we want to grow up and be like Christ, then we need to balance two things, truth and love. This is so important. Just like in wrestling, you need strength and quickness. Just having one won't do you much good. You got to have both, strength and quickness. In the Christian life, you have to have truth and you have to have love. Friends, and you know, you've seen people like this who are one way or the other. Immature people gravitate toward one side or the other. There are some people, and they're all truth, man. And they love to just go out and just beat people up with truth. They're almost abusive with it. They love just spewing it out on everybody. And there's not much love in their heart. They don't see much reason for love because to them, it's all about truth. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have people who are just, it's all about love, you know, and they think, "Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to get along with it." They're totally conflict averse people, and so it's just all about love. You know, either end pretty much disqualifies you from having any impact in the world today. We need rock solid people who know the truth and the love, and they live it out at home. They live it out in their workplace. They have integrity wherever they go. They're solid. They're the same. They're consistently the same, whether they're at work, at recreation, or here at church. And they have the ability to blend those two things together. Friends, if we don't, we're going to be labeled as haters no matter what. I mean, there's just no way. That's going to come. That's already happening. You may be the nicest person in the world. You are going to be, and just get ready for it, you're going to be accused of being an intolerant, bigot, hater, homophobe. They'll throw every possible slander at you as they can. And when you do that, you have to decide, what am I going to be? You know, what's happening is that you're right in the middle of the fight. The fight is happening to you now. You may not realize it, but you're all of a sudden, you just stepped in the ring. And the mature person, the mature Christian, the spiritual Olympian that is like Christ responds with truth and love, with both of those. We're going to need that quality in the future. We're going to need to balance those two things, because without those two things together, our witness for Christ will be tarnished. We will not represent him. You know, I want to look like Christ the older I get. I want to resemble my Heavenly Father. I know you do too. That there's something in us. It's happened when we were little kids. Maybe for some reason, something bad happened and we didn't want to do it anymore. But you grow up, you want to be like mom and dad. And there's something of this in this verse. By balancing truth and love, by being rock solid, then we can start to look like our Heavenly Father. We have his similarities. We have his nose. We have his eyes. We speak like he does. That's what I want. And the last thing we see here is that this spiritual Olympian is committed to actually go to the training center and be there. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So quite simply, the person who is mature and full of Christ is one who is fitted into Christ's body, the church. And the imagery of the body is so appropriate here, because we've only been given a part of what the church needs. Each one of us here has a part of the whole. I've not been given all the gifts. Neither have you. We've all just been given one or two or three. But somebody else has the gifts that I need to be able to become that mature person. Again, when Kyle showed up at training camp, he needed the researchers. He needed the nutritionist. He needed the coach. He needed all these other persons to bring out of him the things that he needed. We all have that same thing. We're a body, and we're meant to be a body. And when we get disjointed, then we lose. We end up not being able to be the people that we're meant to be. I experienced what it was like to feel that disjointing here when my oldest daughter was in junior high. We went out to Camp David. There's a camp around there by Camp David, Maryland, where they took all the junior hires from public school, and you went and you, I don't know what it was, but I was with her. So we're playing dodgeball in a room like this. It's about this size, and there was carpet on the floor. So I'm in the game, and I start moving forward, and I've got these boots that are heavier than what I'm used to, and I'm starting to pitch forward. And I think, this is going to be real ugly. This, you know, I'm going to embarrass my daughter. It's going to be really bad here. And so I tried to do a roll. You know, I thought, well, at least I'll maintain some dignity if I can roll out of this and just don't go splat on my face. Well, I didn't make it all the way over, and my shoulder hit the rug, and it just stuck like Velcro, and the rest of my body kept going, and I heard this rip. So my shoulder came away, or my arm kind of came away from my shoulder. This is like this separation here. I went to the doctor, and the guy, and this was like probably 20 years ago, and he says, well, you got too much left to go, you know, just you'll be okay. So I didn't get surgery or anything on it. And even to this day, I still feel that separation. I mean, like if I sleep the wrong way or whatever, it's the fact that the joint is not where it should be. My arm just, if you look at me, you know, with a t-shirt, where you'll see this shoulder's down a little bit. And that's just because that's been disjointed. And a lot of times I think Christians are doing that same thing to the body of Christ without even realizing it. Because when you're not here, when you're not doing your part, we don't take attendance here, but when you're not plugged in and when you're not doing everything that you could be doing, we suffer. We all suffer. We all suffer that pain of a disjointed limb. A hand is a beautiful thing, but if a hand is by itself on the sidewalk out there, it's not a pretty thing. It's gross. A hand was meant to be connected to the body, right? And so let's not be this hand that's out there thinking, well, I don't need the rest of the body. I've got all the digits I need right here. You know, let's stay connected to the body of Christ. That's the image that's being painted for us here. And so there's the game plan. There's the three characteristics of a spiritual Olympian. Number one, you're stable, you balance truth and love, and you're part of the functioning whole. We can do this. We can do this. You know, Kyle's coach said this about him. He said, you know, the kid only fears one thing, and it's not losing. He doesn't fear losing. What he fears is that he will walk off the mat and realize that he could have given more. And I thought, that is a great thing for every Christian to feel. Because one of these days, the match will be over for us, and we will stand before the one who gave us life and breath. And we will answer for how we lived our life. And will we say at that point in time, I had so much more I could have given and I didn't give. I held back for some reason. The choice is before us. Will we get serious about our training or will we get swept away when the time of testing comes? When the wave of opposition hits, will we be standing together or will we be off wandering off by ourselves? Will we be strong and mature, experiencing the fullness of Christ, or still just playing at Christianity? The choice is very much ours. If we choose properly here, if we choose wisely here, things will be just fine. And the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against the church. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are challenged by this. I know I'm challenged. I need to do a better job as a pastor, and I don't feel like I'm doing what I need to do. I need to step it up. I believe that probably all of us are hearing that message today as we hear not the words of a man, but as we hear the words of the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart, that we all realize that we need to step it up. We're not in training. We're getting fat spiritually speaking, and lazy and complacent, and we're just going to get blown out of the water when the time of testing comes. God, we don't want that to happen. We want to be ready, and we want to be prepared. And Father, most of all, when we see you face to face, we want to be able to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, and know that we didn't waste a day that you've given us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.